source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, Merry Meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. I've got a very interesting show tonight. My guest is author Faye Johnstone, and we're going to be exploring her new book, Plant Spirit Reiki. Now, in the book, Faye combines 20 years of Reiki practice with herbal and shamanic training to assist us with our personal transformation through the healing power of nature. Also, she's the author of Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing, and she offers treatments and training on Reiki and plant spirit communication across the UK. But let's get started because we have a whole lot to cover tonight. And Faye, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. It's just such a pleasure to be here. I feel like I'm in really good company.
You are, and I'm not just saying that. But yes, we're all going to have fun tonight and really teach people. And the book fascinated me on so many different levels. And, you know, I've had many guests over the years talking about Reiki and some talking about communicating with plant spirits. But nobody, to my knowledge, has put those two topics together. So when I saw your book's title, I absolutely had to invite you for a visit. But since I always like to begin at the beginning, let's talk about where your interest in Reiki began, your interest in plants, and where the idea of combining the power of plants and the healing flow of Reiki came about.
Wow. Okay. So just to cast my mind back 20 years ago, and I love to actually to tell people this story because I didn't really come to Reiki through any, let's say, any sort of spiritual awakening or anything like that. I literally got trained in Reiki because my boyfriend at the time said, hey, this is really cool energy therapy. I think you might enjoy it. You know, I was always interested in meditation and energy and, you know, let's say in alternative therapies. But I had never really thought to myself, oh, I can do this. I didn't really classify myself as someone who was a sensitive person. And so my early beginnings in Reiki, you know, they were very humble. I didn't classify myself as like a spiritual person who was sensitive, who was on a specific path. And so I feel like I tumbled into Reiki quite by chance. And I actually feel that that was the way that spirit wanted me to come to my Reiki practice, because my beginnings with Reiki were very relaxed, shall we say. I was very, really, really lacking in confidence. You know, one of those people who I would do everything I'd been taught. You know, I was a very, very good student. I wanted to do everything just the way I had been taught to do, you know, and, you know, so rigid, that lovely good girl who wants to please and get the, you know, top exam marks, you know, my conditioning and everything. And so it took me a really long time, if you like, to relax into the practice, to open to my intuition, to allow myself to really be guided with this beautiful, magical, divine energy, which we know Reiki to be. And so that was my beginnings in Reiki. And I always had it as a bit of a sideline. And I think this happens to many people. They train in Reiki because they're interested in energy and they're really intrigued by Reiki and they want to connect with the energy. And then it goes a little bit on the back burner. So for me, it was a sideline. I was working, you know, I was working 9 to 5 and then I had these kind of Reiki hands twitching. And this is where I think Reiki, I mean, we always talk about Reiki as being an intelligent energy. It goes exactly where it needs to go. And I feel that all the time I was, you know, going about my corporate role, if you like, and in that office-based work, very headspace kind of role. I just feel that Reiki was cooking. It was like the cauldron. It was like on the back burner and it was cooking and it was brewing and it was bubbling away, doing exactly what it needed to do and opening me and teaching me in exactly the way that it needed to do. And I'm going to talk about, I mentioned this in my book. There was one particular real turning point that I can remember, and it just so happened that at the time I was working in a really sort of exciting, dynamic corporate role in the city of Paris. I mean, you know, wonderful. What a lovely opportunity for somebody who's in their mid-20s and they're, you know, lots of champagne cocktails and high heels and handbags and schmoozing and all those things that outwardly the Western world looks on and thinks, wow, isn't this person being very successful? And actually for me, I was deeply unhappy. I was really miserable. And it came to this crunch. There was one Friday evening, I remember just kind of pulling myself out of a meeting that had gone on and on and on, you know, everyone's been there. You're around a table full of people who are supposed to be working as a team and they're not working as a team. Nobody wants to be there. You know, the manager's going on and on about how we need to pull this together. And everyone's sitting there thinking, I just want to escape from here. And I truly did. I went outside of that meeting and this roar came out of me. And that roar was this, it was like this, it was my soul just saying, please help. This has to stop now. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I was like, wow, oh my goodness, something is really happening in me. And that's when I started to realize, you know, that was the light bulb moment. It wasn't as serious as some people have these light bulb moments where they get seriously unwell. I just had my moment of absolute wobble and frazzle. And it was like, this was the end of this stressful role. How am I going to get myself out? Mm-hmm. And actually that was when I kind of, and I think this happens to a lot of people. I hear a lot of people say to me, oh yes, Reiki, I did that once. And actually, you know, Reiki is something that we are and we do every day if we're practicing Reiki. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I was sort of like, oh my God, where have I put my Reiki practice with all of this, the noise, if you like, of work and fun and going out and drinking? You know, where had my Reiki practice gone in all of this? And I'd only been practicing Reiki at this stage probably for about a year or so. But still, it was like, wow, I've forgotten my spiritual tools. And so I really turned on the Reiki. I lent into Reiki. And I also started journaling and really trying to find my voice again that had got lost amidst my kind of corporate pathway on my way to what I thought was success. And I know this happens to so many people. We verge off the truth of who we really are until we get to that point where we're like, who am I again? What is it that I like doing? And the reason I'm talking about this story is because one particular afternoon, I had been in a lovely cafe, I'd been journaling, I'd been kind of having that nice me time that I knew that my soul needed just to connect with what's true for me, what's authentic, what do I want to do, what am I doing here, all of those questions. And walking back along the street, I stopped because I saw a shop festooned with flowers and plants, and it lit me up. It did something to me. And I literally purchased as many plants and flowers as I could carry right back to my apartment in Paris. And I tell you, this was a turning point. Up until this point, I was the sort of person who could happily send flowers to someone, or we had flowers in our office every day, and I couldn't tell you what they were. I didn't know. I thought there were yellow ones, there was white ones, there was tall ones. And I thought of plants as something that my mum was into, you know, gardening, that sort of dull, you know, I just wasn't there at all. And so this was a turning point for me, because it was as if the plants had gone, hey, we see you. And there was some connection, there was some kind of bridge. And in my heart just opened to these amazing green beings. And if you fast forward a year from this moment, actually even less, I think, I had moved back to the UK. I was living in a small town where I had a garden. I had a vegetable patch. I was growing my own food. I was foraging for food and learning about, I was studying herbal medicines, and I was working for a conservation company. And so within that very short period of time of me kind of in this state of surrender, I'd really lent into those plants as teachers, and that opened up a whole new world for me, which is why I'm sitting having this conversation with you. And I now could, and I've now got plants, you know, all throughout my heart and soul.
Mm-hmm. It came to you when you were able to accept it, you know. And I think that's the lovely thing. We all have certain characteristics that we put aside for life, you know, necessarily working and things like that. And eventually, hopefully for everybody, it did for me, but eventually it catches up with you. And then you realize what your path is, and you realize what you're really here for. And it's a great, great, great epiphany, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, what's so funny though, is I still get, because you know, we can't help ourselves, I still get in my own way so much of the time. Mm-hmm. And I still think to myself, oh, I'm not really sure what I'm up to. And it's like, hello, Faye, how many more signs do you need? And so I just sort of love, you know, it's part of the journey, isn't it? You know, yeah. Oh, is this really the right thing? And you're like, yes, how many more? It's staring you in the face. It's your passion. It's the thing you love doing. So, I think we have to treat ourselves very kindly, but I do agree with you that it's when we most need it. It's like, I was so ready, you know, and that's the first thing I ask with all of my clients, you know, what change are you ready for? What are you ready to let go of? What are you ready to welcome in? And I was so ready for those plants. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel, in a sense, how I feel I open up to their communication today. Even if I'm, you know, not perhaps consciously walking through my life thinking, oh, I want to connect with a plant, they find a way to communicate with us and connect with us. And also, you know, in a way that's most suitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the focus of Plant Spirit Reiki is to connect with the plants and nature as conscious beings and working in partnership with them. And in doing so, we're not only going to be healing the earth, but we're going to be healing ourselves as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. So what's really interesting is when we say, oh, plants and Reiki, most people go, oh, right. Okay. So you give Reiki to plants. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's, you know, and yes, that's one aspect of mm-hmm. working with the natural world, isn't it? Is, you know, there are so many beautiful, and I talk about this in my book, there's so many wonderful creative ways that we can work with plants to offer them healing, which obviously then helps to heal our communities and our local, and you know, it raises, when we heal, I really believe that when we look after our green places close to home, that really, really does help raise the vibration of our communities. And we can, and when I sort of think of that, I think of those, sometimes we have these urban parks that just look a bit sad. You know, mm-hmm. everyone's got a place that they've been past, and you're like, oh, I don't want to go in there at night. It's mm-hmm. full of undesirables. It's a bit dangerous. It's, mm-hmm. You know, and you know, and those are the places that need just as much healing as, let's say, the Amazon, or, you know, the countryside, which, you know, has been raged in the US by fire and so on. Mm-hmm. So yes, giving Reiki to our green spaces is very, very important. But also, I've kind of identified two other aspects of what I call Plant Spirit Reiki. Mm-hmm. And the second one is, yes, coming into alignment with our own true nature. And that really is about, so one of the foundations of Reiki is this aspect of self-practice. You know, the more we work on asking Reiki to flow and heal ourselves and our past, our present and our future, that's us coming into alignment really with the truth of who we are. And so what some of the techniques we do with Plant Spirit Reiki is we're kind of coming into partnership with the plants, because we're saying, can you help me? We're being drawn to certain plants or aromatherapy oils or flower essences, which, you know, with our healing, which will help us with our healing intention. So that's another aspect of Plant Spirit Reiki. Mm-hmm. And the other aspect of Plant Spirit Reiki is to bring plants into our Reiki treatments with our clients to really boost and enhance our client treatments. Mm-hmm. And this is where I sort of talk about intuitive plant healing, because we're making this relationship. The plants are coming into the Reiki space and they're forming a relationship with us, the person who's holding the space and is channeling the Reiki, but also with that client. And it's us facilitating this reconnection and bond. So there's three aspects to Plant Spirit Reiki.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of listeners in the audience who are familiar with Reiki and are Reiki practitioners. I think there's probably an equal amount who don't practice but are very much in tune with plants and plant spirits. And each chapter of the book contains meditations and exercises for various purposes. And, you know, I think that anybody is capable of doing these without a problem. And I'm going to illustrate that I think everybody, like you said, has Reiki in them. Because before I learned Reiki, I had plants, always a green thumb. My mom was, you know, a plant aficionado. She had all kinds of things. But I used to, when I would grow something and the plant would look a little weak or a little sad or for whatever reason, you know, it was too hot outside for them, I would talk to them and I would touch them gently. And I didn't realize that I was actually at that point when you're touching them, when you're caressing, not caressing, but just, you know, making them, letting them know that you're here for them kind of thing. That was Reiki. I was giving my energy, positive energy, to them. And I would talk about that. You know, I would say, here, you know, you got to get better, you know, whatever. I think the neighbors might have thought I was crazy, but, you know, so be it. But so that is actually practicing Reiki in a sense, you know, without training, when you're exchanging energy, when you're putting good vibes into something else. I mean, that is part of Reiki, just not, you know, the ones that you have to sit down and learn it all about, but it's a natural thing that comes from us, don't you think?
I do, and I was going to speak to that, because I've actually had some clients of mine, for example, who really enjoyed my first book, which is called Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing, as you mentioned earlier, which was a guide to helping people connect with plants and feel sort of this connection in many different ways. And so many of my clients who enjoyed that first book have jumped on and gone, you know what, I want to get your second book, even though they're not attuned to Reiki. They're not, if you like, you know, they wouldn't term themselves as a Reiki practitioner. They've not had any Reiki training. But when I've spoken to them and I've said, you know, Reiki, it's love. It's giving, it's the intention really to send a high vibration of love, of light, of compassion, of appreciation, of gratitude, you know, out there into the world for the highest good of all beings. Mm-hmm. So I kind of try and rephrase it for people, because I think, so I don't want to, if people are interested, I don't want to discourage people by saying, you know, yes, the book is written if you're a Reiki practitioner, because these techniques and bringing plants into your practice can really, you know, add take it to absolutely another level. But there's equally, you're going to get something out of the book and the practices if you are one of these people, like you say, who's interested in plants, who respects them, who loves them, who cares for them. Because all of these, throughout the book, I've said to people, you know, whenever I say tune into Reiki, what I'm saying is tune into high frequency love, light, and you can't go wrong with the practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's being one-on-one with plants and their spirits, and it really makes you happy to do it. Well, it makes me happy to do it anyway.
Well, I think part of the reason is the plant connection. And I talk about this in my first book, it's really a heart-based connection. When we're trying to communicate with plants and care for them, yes, we could do it through our minds. We can think, oh, what do I think this plant wants? But when we get into that heart, when we move the awareness from our head that's thinking all the time into the heart that's feeling, this is when we kind of connect with that vibration of nature, when we're in this heart space and we can feel and we can feel empathy, we can feel gratitude, we can feel, and you know, we feel love for these plants, and they bring us joy. And actually connecting it to that vibration of joy and gratitude, this lovely, I mean, it makes your heart feel warm, doesn't it, just thinking mm-hmm. about something that brings you joy, and it makes it, and it opens it. And this is this beautiful state of receiving that we want to be in when we're communicating with the plant world or even the nature beings. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to speak to that.
Yeah, no, I think it's important because, you know, some people say, well, I don't understand Reiki, I can't read the book, I can't do anything. But, you know, I'm just trying to make the point that it doesn't matter if you know Reiki or not. This book is very beneficial. It's very helpful to you, to the earth. And yeah, so don't have to. I say that too when I do authors who do books on witchcraft. You don't need to be a witch to do these things, because they're just things that are going to be beneficial in the long run. And it doesn't mean you're going to turn into, you know, somebody that needs to ride a broom, right? So kind of the same thing here. Now, you know, there's a lot of exercises in the books that are really kind of amazing. But, you know, this one made me think. You talk about charging stones or crystals and then placing them where you feel that they're needed. And there'll be some people out there who maybe don't have stones or crystals on hand. But as I was reading the section, I got to thinking that we don't need to go out and buy stones and crystals. It may be even more beneficial if we pick up natural stones in the areas that we're in the backyard, if you're walking down the street, and charge those with our energy and then put them back where they belong. You know, heal them. If it's in a bad area or something, pick up a stone, put your energy in it, put it back, you know, rather than go to a shop where the stones have been handled, they've been tumbled, they've perhaps been broken up, shipped all over the place, out of their natural elements. I think it's important to do that. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think I make that point in the book that we, you know, everything that we have, everything that we need, we already have. And for me, people always ask me, oh, do you do crystal Reiki? And I'm, you know, for me, crystals and the stones that I would pick up in my garden or the shells that I might find on my beach, these elements that are gifted to me from nature, or acorns, for example, or berries from a tree, have just as much value for me. Because, and particularly if we're picking up stones that are from the area where we are living, they already have the frequency that we are living on as well. So I find, and this is the same as well for plants, you know, I really try and encourage people, rather than go to a store selling kind of generic plant bundles or incenses and things like that, and dried herbs, really, where possible, try and source ones which have grown locally, which are local to you, because they're just on the frequency which is where you are operating on. Okay, so that's, yeah, I really agree with you in terms of, and when we're out in nature, we can ask, if we're in our local park or in our yard, we can ask for elements in nature to reveal themselves to us. And they will, if we ask in our heart with our intention and keep our eyes out, we'll be surprised at what nature will kind of gift to us. So one of my favorite exercises actually is to, whenever I'm on a beach, so if anyone listening is lives close to a beach, is to ask for hagstones. Now, a hagstone, you know, is a stone with a hole right the way through. And it's amazing when you put your intention that you would like to be gifted some hagstones, and then all of a sudden, that's all you can see. It's just like one after the other hagstones. So again, that's just a lovely magical practice too.
And I can relate to that because I wanted to have wishing stones. I had read about wishing stones, and I, in the yard here, we have tons and tons and tons of stones that I've never really looked at. And all of a sudden, I found a wishing stone. I had it. And every day I went out and looked around a little more. And pretty soon, I mean, I've got more wishing stones than anybody would ever need now, but I'd never seen them before. But once I asked for them, boy, did I get them.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, but really quickly, or maybe we'll pick it up, start now and finish after the break. How do we connect with our intuitive senses? People sometimes always ask that.
Well, I think it's really important for you to work out, you know, it's different for everybody. And I think it's really important for you to work out what yours might be. You know, are you a visual person? Do you remember people's faces easily? Are you an audio person? Do you remember things that you've listened to? So there's all different types of intuitive senses. And I think it's really a case of really kind of exercising them, stretching them, and working out, you know, where is my place of knowing? Does it live in my heart? Is it something I feel in my body? Is it something I feel in my gut? And just going through those moments in your life where you have experienced clarity, or when you have experienced, you know, a very intense dream, or that, you know, you simply knew, a person was lying, those times when you knew somebody was calling you, just remembering, okay, how is it that I'm most receptive? Am I receptive to information, and which of my senses is most developed? And then lean into that and develop that one more, and never compare yourself. Never compare yourself to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And always, always trust your first impression, because we're not taught to do that.
No, and that's hard. You know, we're always going to second guess. It takes a long time to kick yourself in the head until you realize that just stop it, you know, just take it for what it is and move on, right?
Well, I think also when we're working with plants, so that's what I say to everyone, trust your first impression. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really hard, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, the plant book says this, or the Reiki manual says this, and actually your soul or your heart, whatever is calling you, is saying, but actually, you know, my feeling is this. So we're always, always trying not to think our way. We're trying to feel our way and really work out, where is it that I'm most receptive? And working out kind of what state do you need to be in? And again, like you said, don't beat yourself up and give yourself a hard time, because we've had years of training in terms of it being taken out of us, this intuitive trust and flow that we want to be in. But I always ask myself as well, because being intuitive is about being receptive. Mm-hmm. And you sort of ask yourself, okay, well, which areas what am I not receptive to at the moment? And sometimes, you know, this is where we identify money blocks, or blocks to abundance, or blocks to love. And really, we want to. So what we can do is, out in nature, we can work on our receptivity simply by going through the physical senses, by touching trees and bark, by smelling the plant world, by listening to the noises that are out there, as well as also drinking in that beautiful visual that we will get. But it's not always visual. And what's really interesting is, for me in my Reiki practice, when I am with a client, I am a very visual person. I will see lots of images and information. But when I'm with plants, I have a completely different way of experiencing their medicine. And that's what's been a learning for me. I think it's been an opening of maybe another intuitive sense, which I perhaps was not really working with before or even aware of. So that's just one thing I want to point out to people. It's not always the same every time. So if you find yourself sensitive by doing Reiki or energy healing or meditation in a certain way, plants might speak to you or through you in a different way. For me, it's a very felt sensation when I am with a plant. It's very emotional. It's something that sort of takes over my whole body.
Okay. Well, let me take a quick break to recharge our energy. So everybody, please stay tuned, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back. So don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned.
Explore the second edition of the Witch's Oracle Deck through 45 innovative cards and enhanced guidebook that peers into the world of the witch. The deck's stunning artwork has a new look and includes 7 brand new inspirational cards. Each card now includes a suggested crystal or gemstone to enhance your reading, as well as a magical incantation that provides energy, reinforces the card's meaning, and helps the desired message to be sent out into the universe. The easy-to-navigate guide also has a new look and offers straightforward, gentle guidance that takes readers through both good times and bad. And now includes a chapter on crystal and gemstone divination by the amazing Nicholas Pearson. The Witch's Oracle. It is a perfect divination deck for witches as well as non-pagans, and is designed to suit both seasoned readers and beginners alike. Find out more about the Witch's Oracle deck at www.marlabrooks.com, and you can purchase the deck from shifferbooks.com, amazon.com, or order a copy from your favorite bookseller.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, perhaps. It takes two to tango. Well, now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know, and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Okay, I think we're recharged, and my guest tonight is Faye Johnstone, and we're talking about her new book, Plant Spirit Reiki. Now, there's a couple of things. I'm going to kind of jump around here and there in the book, because there's so much to talk about in so little time, but I'm just going to tell you things that kind of jumped out at me. And one of the things is that I'm a very big proponent of using energy balls for healing. Mm-hmm. And you have an exercise about Reiki balls in nature, and I'd like to hear more about that.
Oh, thank you for mentioning this one. It is one of my favorite exercises. And I often used to do it if we were doing a workshop, you know, on a particular location. And what we do in the Reiki ball is we take a walk in nature and we're asking Reiki to flow. And where we feel guided, we will leave a beautiful energy ball in nature, with the intention that that place in nature, maybe it's by a tree or for the creatures that live there, we feel into the intention, and we have the intention that that Reiki ball, that beautiful ball of energy that you've just conjured up and asked to flow and created in your hands, you're going to place it in this place in nature, and it's going to radiate out the Reiki, the energy healing to whatever is needed and whenever it is needed, and that's the kind of intention, is to when that is most needed, that the nature beings, the creatures who live there, and the plant beings and Mother Earth herself will benefit from that beautiful healing energy that you have just placed there. And so it's a lovely exercise to do. It's kind of like a gratitude exercise. It's very much a pay it forward exercise, I think. So that's why I was mentioning it, that sometimes when I'm running workshops at particular locations and we've had a wonderful day of, being out in the garden with the plants, we might do a Reiki balls exercise to leave our gratitude behind, to leave positive healing energy behind in the form of these energy balls. And when we're making an energy ball, I guess everyone will do it differently, but I simply ask Reiki to flow for the highest good or whatever intention I am placing in that ball. And I will hold my hands out and I will ask Reiki to flow. And when I feel that the energy ball in my hand is the size that I want it to be or the size that it needs to be, then I will place it. And I kind of place it usually at the base of a tree or by a bush or a plant or an area. Sometimes we can place these balls in, like we were saying earlier, those areas in nature that just feel a little down at heel. They feel a little seedy. You know, those places are those places that really need our love, because if we're walking past a particular, you know, a park or a green space that looks a bit sad, you know, just think of that sad energy with 100 people walking past a day going, oh, that looks a bit sad. And it looks a bit dirty. It looks a bit seedy. We want to walk past places and place our love there so that we raise their vibration, so that everybody walks past going, wow, that place looks so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, let's talk a little bit about plant allies, new plant spirits and guides. Who might they be?
Okay, so I think of a plant ally, or it just think of a friend, think of a plant angel, think of a companion who is, well, sometimes they step forward to, for example, in this sense, they might step forward to help you with your Reiki practice and your plant practice. So as we know, with spirit guides and helpers of all kinds, they step forward. They can be with us for a long time. They can be with us for a short period of time to help us with something which is challenging. So this is how I work with plants. And so, for example, you might find if you in your Reiki practice, for example, or in your healing practice will be working with specific symptoms, you know, if you find as a pattern like, oh, you know, everyone's coming with to me at the moment for stress and anxiety, there might be a specific group of plants, or you can ask to meet a plant ally that will step forward, that will be your plant ally, that will help you with these particular ailments, or grief, for example, you know, these key points of suffering that present themselves either personally or when we're working with clients. And so plant allies, we can, and this is what's great about plants. Let's just talk what's so amazing about plants and plant allies. So when we're working, let's say, with an angelic guide or an animal helper or an ancestor, you know, the thing with those, well, not the animal ones necessarily, but the things with those other, you know, those guides that are in other realms, is we can't kind of touch them and hug them and have them with us in the physical realm. Okay. Most of us can't see them. Sometimes we can, you know, so the good thing about plants is that we can connect with them in so many ways. We have got their amazing physical form. So we can be outside with the plant. We can touch it. We can smell it. We can admire it. We can draw it. We can kind of have it as a muse for all sorts of creativity and poetry and song and so on. And then also we can take photos of it. So this photograph could be with us as something that can support us. We could have a massive image in our healing space, or we can bring elements of it into the healing space as part of our altar, as part of a seasonal kind of representation of the energies of this time of year or of the plant itself. And we've got herbal medicine, and we've got plant essences. And we've got essential oils and herbal teas and so on. So plants have this amazing, they connect with us on so many different levels. And then also the level of prayer, the level of invocation and ceremony that we might work with our other spirit helpers. So we've got all this array of, it's very holistic, it's very rounded in how we connect with the plant. So we don't always have to have, you know, if you're working with the oak tree as an ally, for example, you do not have to have the oak tree in your treatment space or in your healing space with you. You could carry an acorn in your pocket. You could work with the plant essence, or you could simply connect with that plant through prayer, through connecting to that feeling in your heart that you've had when you have been with the plant. So there is such a diverse way that we can work with plants and allow their medicine to infuse with us. This is why for me it's like a panacea. It's beautiful. It's so rich. It's not just the unseen in prayer or in spirit or in essence. The fun part, you know, and this is how many people will get into plant medicine is through herbal teas, and then they'll be growing their own vegetables, or they'll be foraging and wanting to make herbal medicines and look after their health in that way. So there's all these different avenues that the plants manage to kind of wave their little green leaves and tendrils at us and then reel us in. But yes, and also, you know, through burning herbs, through smudging or incenses and so on, there's this wonderful way. And obviously for me, you know, one thing that I really believe, and I teach this wholeheartedly, is that, you know, rather than waft around some ritual smoke, or, you know, just turn on the essential oil infuser or pour out a herbal tea, you know, make it a ritual, give it an intention, invoke the plant, call that plant to be part of your healing space. And that gives it so much more power. It really does it brings a focused intention and a potency to your healing work and your space preparation, or whatever it is that you are working with that plant for. And also, you know, we can create amulets. We can sometimes, and this is actually a rare interview in which I don't have a plant in my hand, but oftentimes in the summer, if I am teaching or talking or doing these kind of, you know, online things, where it feels like I'm by myself out in the ether just talking away, I will have a plant with me to ground me, and I will have it holding it in my hand. So maybe a sprig of lavender or chamomile, these plants, or rosemary. I'm a big fan of culinary herbs, actually, because they're so aromatic, they're easy to grow, they're very easy for us to get hold of. We have to remember that plant medicine doesn't mean exotic medicine. It means local potency, beautiful vibrations that are on your level, you know. Just having a plant physically in your space, you know, just think of the magic of gifting somebody flowers or buying someone a plant that's caught your eye because you were thinking of them, because you thought it might lift their spirits, you know. There's so much beauty in plant medicine. It's really an all-rounder.
Yeah, it is. And I just want to interject something about the allies, because reading the book, you know, made things pop up in my head and ideas. And I have a yard and lots of critters. There's hummingbirds and crows and squirrels and possums, and right in the middle of the city, you know, lovely butterflies and whatever. And not long ago, I was watering the plants, and I kept feeling like somebody was watching me. And I looked around, and there's nobody there. But apparently you get drawn to the stare eventually. And about 6 inches away from me, staring straight in the eye, as opposed to most lizards who are quite skittish, this guy was just staring me down. And it got me thinking that when we're giving healing energy to our gardens, we must also include the other elements, you know, like the lizards and the birds. And I think lizards are very territorial. This is what I'm getting from all these guys in the yard. I was quite sure that at that point, I never gave it any thought because they run around all the time. But right then I realized that that lizard was making sure that I was being good to the plants. He was peeking in through the fence and he was staring me down, and I got an adorable picture. I mean, if you don't think that you're not surrounded by allies in any way, shape, or form, you are. They're all there. You just have to recognize them.
Absolutely. It's like, it's just turning on the awareness. The first step is turning on the awareness and recognize and going, oh yeah, okay, you're just recognizing it. And that's, and then I always say, you know, we just have to be willing. That's kind of opening the door a little bit. And as soon as we've opened the door of potential, oh, we're willing. It's like the plants. Oh, she's willing. She's willing. And they're going to dive right in. And you're going to start to shift. Your perspective's going to shift. You know, you're going to realize you're not alone. You're part of this much greater web. And we all know that in our hearts anyway. And yeah, once we start to shift that awareness and we place the awareness in our hearts, we start to see through eyes of the heart, and we've kind of turned on a type of radar, I think, really, when we shift that awareness, when we're willing to open to the wonders which, you know, that are out there, like you and the lizard. And I always say, you know, we kind of know a little bit about plants. So we think, oh, you know, I've got heartbroken, you know, my heart's broken. I think I need some rose. I need some rose for my chakras and, you know, my heart chakra. And we get into that thinking space, and that's fine. But, you know, the idea with plants, I always invite people to be chosen. You know, go out in nature or go and smell some lovely essential oils and notice how that feels in your body. Be chosen by a plant. They'll step forward and meet you. So we're kind of involving ourselves and our clients as well, you know, to open to who is out there, not just who we think we should be having because, you know, oh, I've had this flower essence before because I suffer from anxiety and I want to take this one. You know, no. You know, feel your way with it. Open to who's there for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just mentioned chakras, and I know chakras and plants could be a whole show all by itself, but I think we'd like to talk about it just for a little bit about specific plants, oils, or essences that connect with each chakra.
Oh my goodness. Well, I did squeeze in a chapter, didn't I? I sort of had to, I think, even though, so, you know, as part of the Usui Reiki system of healing comes from Japan, and you know, chakras, they're not a Japanese concept. They're from the you know, the Vedic scriptures, these energy centers. But we're so familiar with chakras as energy centers, and I think that's so. I just thought, you know, and many Reiki teachers like myself do teach the chakra or the energy centers as part of Reiki, so that we can use it as a map, really. Because I find, you know, the way that the different energy centers of the body will correlate to organs and symptoms and so on, I find it's a very, very useful map. And that's why I've included it in the book. And you're right, I have, I've suggested plants which we can use for certain chakras. But this is by no, I mean, the whole kind of point really, what I wanted to do is invite people to just consider, you know, sometimes we, you know, I've mentioned kind of the association that rose has with our heart, with our heart center, but also being drawn to certain plants because of their colors. Each of the chakras is associated with a specific color. But also, really, by connecting with plants and flowers and just asking, you know, does this plant want to be anywhere on my body? And sometimes we'll find that, yes, you know, you picked up a sprig of rosemary and it feels kind of like, oh, okay, I think this might want to, you know, be near my solar plexus. Or I've picked up some sage and that just feels like it wants to connect with my throat. So I'm very much, you know, as mentioned, this kind of intuitive healing, turn on that, ask yourself, what does my body need? What does my energy body need? And be guided that way rather than necessarily have a strict kind of a strict map of, you know, this must be here, this must be root chakra, you know, and so on. But generally for the, when we think of our root center, for example, I'm thinking, you know, this is kind of the rooting, this is the belonging, this is the connection with the earth. So that for me is those, you know, dandelion as a plant, you know, is very, is known for its root. There's marshmallow root, there's ginger and licorice. These are all these beautiful roots which will root us and which will bring energy to that center. And similarly, you know, going the other end in the crown, for example, I always think of those delicate, delicate petals. And obviously the lotus flower is, you know, traditionally associated with, you know, we think of the lotus opening on top of the crown. And I think of other lovely sort of very delicate blossoms, such as, you know, the orchids and angelicas and these lovely apple and cherry blossoms, for example, associated mm-hmm. with these chakras. And also, yes, in the book, I've mentioned not just the plants, but also, you know, herbal teas that we might want to think about, or even essential oils, because really, whatever we're drawn to using, and whatever feels right for us. And even these days, I know we can even buy herbal teas, which actually are kind of classified by specific chakras and energy centers. But again, don't go necessarily by what it says on the box. Go by what your heart is leading with, by what your body's feeling with. And also, you know, if you're smelling a scent, if you're with a plant, or if you're tasting a herbal tea, really, really tuning into how is this feeling in my body? How is it making me feel? How is my energy as I'm drinking this? And is it going to any specific area of my body? So yeah, and again, inviting the plants with the, I use the chakras really in the book as just like, again, the map. Mm-hmm. And what I want to really encourage people to do who want to take this practice further is just get to know specific plants. And in this case, I was working with the sort of seven main chakras that go down the central channel, and just get to know plants which for you work for you for these specific energy centers. And then that's a really good start to have, you know, these seven plant allies in mm-hmm. your toolbox.
Yeah.
For connecting.
Absolutely. All right. So some people don't have gardens or houseplants, and they're not near nature in general for some reason, but it is still possible to send healing to the earth, nature beings and endangered species around the world, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of Reiki. And, you know, if we're going to exchange Reiki for love, or, you know, we were saying this beautiful high vibration, you know, there's a specific techniques that we do in Reiki where we at level two, and we have specific symbols, which are the certain aspects of the energy. And we can work with photos, we can work with surrogates to send healing. And actually, I'm really big into visualization. Like I mentioned before, I'm a very visual person. And I actually find that sometimes a combination of visualization and mantra can really work very successfully especially if you are quite new to sending healing across a distance. And, you know, we've had to, I tell you, this year, because of the us not being able to necessarily be with loved ones or places that we want to go, everyone's been practicing their distance healing
yes.
techniques in a yes. big way. Uh-huh. But I know for myself and my experience, sometimes when I sometimes like to visualize that I'm holding something in the palm of my hand, or for example, if I wanted to beam healing to the Amazon rainforest, or, you know, the forests which are getting, you know, have suffered from the fires and so on like that, I would visualize that. I would write it down on a piece of paper. I would send it. I would hold a photo of it in my hands. There's all these different techniques that we can use.
Mm-hmm.
And also what I like to do is I like to visualize that place receiving the energy. And I visualize that whatever color feels right. And I tell myself that that is happening. So I might say the Amazon is receiving Reiki for its highest good. And I create a mantra, and I'll create a mantra, and I'll just say Reiki is flowing for the highest good. The Amazon and all her creatures are receiving the love and light and energy that they need for healing and balance. And I'll just create mantras, and I will be kind of telling it. So I'm kind of telling my brain, my mind that wants to go, oh, I don't know if this is working. Oh, I'm not really sure if I'm doing it right. You know, that self-critic that sometimes talks to you, says, this is stupid. I can't believe you think this is going to work. What a loser. You know, that mind, I'm telling myself, I'm saying, this is my intention. This healing is going there now. And if it means I visualize that place and visualize happy communities and healthy looking trees, then that's what I'm doing. So I think that, and also I love one of the exercises in the book is to actually visualize, you know, the world as if it was kind of in your hands, our planet Gaia, yeah. And beaming and sending our love and our light and our Reiki to Gaia, to the earth as a whole. And yes. that's a lovely exercise to do. And you know, anyone can do that, because it's exactly. Like wrapping your arms around the earth and going, I love you, you know, I'm sending you a big kiss. You know, that's really what we're all about.
Yep, and the important thing is anybody can do it. Now, before we run out of time, we've got about 2 minutes. Tell us where people can find out more about this book, about your other book, where you offer treatments and training on Reiki and Spirit Plant Connection across the UK and online and all that good stuff.
Yeah, thanks. So my website is fayjohnstone.com. So that's fayjohnstone.com. You could also follow me on Instagram at Plants That Speak. And my two books are Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing, and also Plant Spirit Reiki. And I have a YouTube channel as well, which is Faye Johnstone. So you'll find me that way. And that is a video every week on training in plant medicine, Reiki, and shamanism. And yeah, and you can also find my online courses and my Reiki training, as you said, fayjohnstone.com.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight and sharing Plant Spirit Reiki and opening my mind by reading the book, and hopefully others as well. I really enjoyed it. And at some point, maybe you'll come back and we'll do some more talking about it.
I'd love that. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. And thank you, everybody, for listening live or on podcast as well. And until next time, everyone, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.